Little Poor Dog Pondering here on the download on WGN. My guest tonight at the big table is a man who's dedicated his life to music, Frank Orrell. Been a part of the Chicago rock music scene for decades, working and collaborating with several musicians on countless projects. But his main squeeze, he's a frontman for Poi Dog Pondering. Poi Dog has seen several lineups over the years, several albums, including Wishing Like a Mountain, Thinking Like the Sea, Volo Volo, and Pomegranate, which is a 20-year anniversary this year. Just played a show at the Vic. But more than the music, Poi Dog's become an institution in Chicago. Tonight we talk about the band's ascension from performing on the streets to major labor challenges to the 20th anniversary of Pomegranate and their new work, their new record, which is out now, Everybody's Got a Star. It is my pleasure to welcome Frank Orrell to the download. Frank, good to see you.
Hey, good to see you. Thanks, Justin. I appreciate you having me.
It's amazing. I'm giddy to the point where all afternoon I've been jamming Poi Dog Pondering. Like it's great to think about that. So, you know, it's funny because I was looking at your Facebook group page, and you had a really great line that was like from, you know, street busking to the challenges of a major label, like what to do with this band. We've seen it all. Talk about how Poi Dog Pondering came about.
Yeah, Poi Dog, you know, I 30 years ago, I started making cassette albums at home. Like I started out with like two beat boxes. You know, I would record like the guitar on one beat box and I would play that one. And then I would record on the other one and I would put my vocals on it. And I would go back and forth like that. And then moved on to, you know, like, and that was just making songs, you know, and then made about three cassette albums and formed a band around it in Hawaii. And we started there and we just used to play on the street, you know, as street musicians for about a year.
Really?
Traveled across the mainland as street musicians.
And how many people were in the band at that point?
There were 5 to 8. Yeah, 5 to 9, actually.
That's a big band to be playing on the street.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, and it was great because, you know, I mean, if you go and you play in the street and you're just by yourself, people are a little afraid of you. But if you have 5 people, they get curious.
Well, they like it.
Hey,
yeah.
What's going on here? You know,
you're absolutely right. Michigan Avenue. If there's 5 or 6 people on Michigan Avenue playing in a band, you're like, oh, I got to stop and check this out.
Yeah, and we had a nice adventure, you know. And then we set, you know, we spent a year doing that, and we settled in Austin, Texas, and we got a record deal while we were playing on the street, which is crazy, but that's how we got a record deal. Then we went to Austin and recorded the first 3 records there, and enjoyed it, lived there, and.
And you came to Chicago in the early 90s, right?
Yep.
That's when you came here. And at that time, Chicago had a lot going on music-wise. I mean, that was the explosion of the rock scene here,
yep.
Which became...
It was exciting.
We've had so many bands in here talking about that history from you know, Urge Overkill to Veruca Salt. But Poi Dog was a big part of that. Because when you came here, you really... I don't know if it was the support of the radio, WXRT, but you guys really became a darling here in Chicago pretty quick.
Yeah, I mean, we had been touring through here when we were living in Austin still yet, and that's how we got to know the city and got to like it. And we were, you know, fortunate enough to like open for like Robin Hitchcock and Throwing Muses and stuff like that. So we were able to play in front of people right away, you know, and Sue and Julia over at Lounge Jacks were always quick to give us a gig, you know. And so like when we got to town, we had a good head start, which is nice. Yeah.
I mean, for you, looking back to those days when you came here, what was the goal of coming to Chicago? Was it to try and get be ambitious and get a major record deal? Was it to ride the sort of wave that was happening here in rock music?
No, I mean, I didn't know about all that stuff till I moved here. About, you know, like you know, Smashing Pumpkins or any of those bands, I didn't know about it. You know, oddly, when you're in a band, you kind of get so monofocused. You know, you're especially. At the level we were, at that point, we were a major label band, so we were just like, we were working on the next record all the time. I wasn't really listening to other people's records, you know. But I kind of felt like I went through the ringer, like with the major label stuff. And that's when I moved to, when Max and I moved up here, it was just the two of us. We built the band back up from scratch. And it was really more that, like, you know, we wanted to have a big city experience. I you know, growing up in Honolulu and then, I, you know, living in Austin, I'd always wanted to live in like New York or Chicago or San Francisco and kind of get that feeling, that big city feeling. And then, you know, Chicago just kind of felt like, oh, Max was really, he had good friends here with like the Cocktails and different people. So he wanted to move here. And we were both like, all right, let's go check it out for a while.
How hard was it? I mean, that's one of the legacies of Poi Dog Pondering is how much you've changed the lineup. So many people have come through.
Yeah.
How hard was it for you and Max to find other musicians in Chicago to play in the band?
It wasn't hard. You know, I mean, we Well, no, it was hard. We went through a lot of different players.
Because it's a lot of instrumentation. It's not just, hey, can you play bass? You know, like.
Yeah. Some of it was literally like, you know, some friends of ours would go, hey, I know this guy, Paul Mertens. He's a great sax player. You should call him up. Or Doc Julian. He's a great guitar player. You know, so we got turned on that way to people. And then we auditioned, which is a terrible process. You know, you put an ad and then you sit in a room with people for three songs. And then you kind of go, we'll call you later, you know. And it's just a terrible process. But you also have to do it if you want to, especially for us to not know the city. And then,
that's when you put an ad in a reader, right? That's in the back. You're like, Poi Dog Pondering, looking for a bass player, inspirations.
Right. I did a lot of stuff where I would go through the clubs too. I mean, I would go through jazz clubs and reggae clubs, and I didn't really want rock players. I wanted people with a different sensibility. Yeah. So I went through all these other kind of clubs looking for, you know, players. And that's a nice way because you watch people in action. You can go, well, I like their style, you know. So you approach them.
Let's take a quick break so we can stay on time here.
Yeah.
Frank Orrell in studio with me, frontman for Poi Dog Pondering. Their latest record, which is out now, is Everybody's Got a Star. When we come back, let's talk about the 20th anniversary of Pomegranate. A great record, 1995. You just played shows at the Vic to celebrate that. I'd love to get your thoughts on making music 20 years ago and how it still stands up now.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that with Frank Orrell here on The Download. Stay with us.
Big constellation hanging over my head.
More Poi Dog Pondering for you here on WGN. It's a download. I'm Justin Kaufman. My guest tonight at the big table, Frank Orrell, the front man for Poi Dog Pondering. We're talking about their career, their brand new record, which is out just this last month. It's called Everybody's Got a Star. It's also the 20th anniversary of one of the better Chicago records of all time, Pomegranate, which you just heard a song off right there. Frank, for you, looking back, I mean, 20 years, you know, you just played what was it like playing that record in its entirety at the Vic just last month?
Yeah, I mean, it's great. I mean, we released the record at the Vic, you know, like when we finished recording it. So, you know, we did those songs a lot in that room. So, I mean, it felt great to do it. And you know, those songs are, half of them are in our repertoire all the time. So it was really easy to pick up. There are a couple of songs that we don't play that often that were really nice to wake back up again.
Well, that's the idea.
It felt very natural.
You see that now much more in the last decade where bands are playing their full records and things like that. Yeah. I mean, how hard is it for a band to do that, to say I'm going to play front to back just based on the fact some of those tracks you just don't play?
Yeah, it would depend on the album, you know. I mean, like some of our records have if we were to do In C Comes Fruit, it would be much more difficult because those are much more orchestrated, you know. There's a lot of orchestration and things like that, but certainly not impossible for us to do, you know. Like, we have Paul and Susan and Max do great with the orchestration and with different musicians that they have join us on the show. So, but you know, some records, that one was an easy one to do because we, you know, played most of those songs. They're still in our repertoire.
Well, it was, you know, after the record, I guess it was after Volo Volo, which was a major label record. That was a major label album. Mm-hmm. Pomegranate was your own that went independent.
Yeah.
What after the last major label record in 1993, 94, what made you leave?
We were not happy with Sony, and they were not happy with us. We had a great contract because we had six major labels after us. So we wrote a great contract that was like, we get to do instrumental records. We can do a kids record if we want, you know. We basically got full creative control with that Sony, that contract. But it's kind of a lot of lip service. I mean, and the truth is that we weren't selling records like they needed us to sell, like a major label needs to sell records. And we weren't playing ball. We were really stubborn, you know. That's just the way we are. We Volo Volo, the record we delivered for our third, you know, our that record, it was actually an all-instrumental record, and they freaked out. They sent their A&R guy down to Austin, you know, like, and he's basically like going, we can release this record contractually, but we'll drop you right after.
Well, you had some hits on Wishing. I mean, Wishing Like a Mountain, Thinking Like the Sea, and you know, you had the appearance on Letterman, and you were you were moving in a direction where I'm sure Sony was happy, saying this is going to blossom into something that, you know, we're both going to be happy with.
Yeah, I mean,
but it wasn't in the cards.
No, I mean, they need to sell a lot of records to keep a band around. So we just, you know, But anyway, so like we moved to Chicago, Max and I, and like. And the wind kind of went out of the sail of the Austin band. You know, I mean, we went on a tour and the label wasn't supporting the tour. And we felt like we worked really hard and did great work and it wasn't really getting noticed. We were getting some stuff, but it's not in the level that you need to be to maintain that sort of thing. So then, you know, Max and I moved up here and then we just started working on a new record. And when we sent the demos to, the demos were what was going to be Pomegranate. We sent them to Sony and they didn't like it. So they dropped us. And it was like, it was just so great. I mean, because now we don't have to deal with them anymore. And I felt like, you know, I felt like we got our integrity back. I mean, after 1 year and we working hard, practicing, writing, recording that record. When we did those, we did these Vic shows and they were like so important to me. They were like, I remember feeling like I was not feeling well before. I was pretty sick. You know, I had like some kind of bad chest cold And I was kind of, in the back of my mind, I was just going, just let me do these shows. That's all, you know. I know it sounds dramatic, but I really kind of felt like anything could happen to me after this. I just want to do these shows. And it was a really nice moment. I mean, I really felt like, you know, it's a really great record, and it was good to, you know, to decide to close the door on signing with labels and start our own label. We had a great lawyer at the time. And that was before people were doing that. And he was like, going, why are you going to sign to a label? Why don't you just start your own label? And it was like, well, you can do that.
and the record, I mean, it stands the test of time. I mean, it was well received. Chicago loved it. I don't remember how it played out, you know, throughout the country. But the idea is that those songs, a lot of the songs that are off that record are still, I feel like, are still in rotation.
Yeah, and it's great. XRT was super supportive of us. I mean, they are to this day, you know, like, well, you know, they were really one of the only, you know, people, you know, to be playing the record, and that kind of support means a lot. It, you know, means a lot to the city. You get to broadcast, you know, like information out to the city in a way, you know?
Well, I know you brought your guitar and I know that I don't want to arm twist, but what do you think about playing something off of Pomegranate?
Sure. Yeah.
Keep it.
There you go.
Now I got to get my phone out. I got to tape this. Okay. So what are we going to hear?
I'll do a little bit of Catacombs.
Catacombs here on the download. Frank Oral.
I'm dusting off the old ghosts now, and they're giving me a run for my money. Down here with the skulls and bones, down here in the catacombs, swimming through the blood of years, chipping away at this wall of tears, with no muslin hands to hold me in the dark. I was left to find the light down here in the catacombs. Down here in the catacombs. Dilutes my thoughts. Words are like a string that I pull out of my mouth, like a tapeworm eating me from inside out. Words are like a string that I pull out of my mouth.
Ah, yeah!
There we go.
There we go. Frank Oral, Poor Dog Pondering, acoustic, Catacombs from Pomegranate, which is celebrating its 20th anniversary of the album. They just had shows. Poor Dog just had shows at the Vic. The new record is Everybody's Got a Star. More with Frank Oral when we come back here on The Download. Stay with us. I love the way you wear those flowers in your hair. I love the way you dance like you don't even care. I love your summer legs wrapped around my waist. I love the way you smell. I love the way you taste. That's Burning Higher from the latest album, Everybody's Got a Star, from Poor Dog Pondering. Frank Oral in studio with me tonight on The Download here on WGN Radio. It's so prolific in the way that you listen to that music and you're like, oh, that's a funk track. Yeah. Frank's doing funk. Okay. Yeah. So talk about the new work. I mean, for you, I mean, all the band members I mentioned at the top, I mean, it feels like you've had 100 plus band members in Poor Dog Pondering. The lineups can get really big or really, you know, I would small is relative. But talk about what you're doing now, you know, with Poor Dog.
Yeah, you know, we just finished this new record. It just literally just came out like 3 weeks ago. Everybody's Got a Star. And it's, you know, it's like a further exploration. I mean, I grew up in like in around dance clubs, you know, like in Hawaii, there was one club in town, really, the Wave, and it had to service everybody. So it was like, you know, punk rock kids, and, you know, until the early part of the evening, and then it went full disco, you know, afterwards, later on in the evening, 4 o'clock. And we were always used to mixing it up in that environment, you know, the punks and the disco kids and the mods and whatever, you know. So for me, like, that music's always been around me. And then coming to Chicago, definitely, it's such a great dance music town and electronic music town. And so that's always been a big influence. And then always like the rock and soul stuff that came out of here, like Tyrone Davis. And then the, you know, we really enjoy working with orchestral elements a lot. And those are all things that they really came to blossom when we came to Chicago. Mm-hmm. You know, we did some shows with the Chicago Sinfonietta, you know, a couple of orchestral pieces with them. And so, you know, our records now they're kind of a pastiche of all that stuff. You know, you got this the groove element. I'm a drummer, so for me, bass and drums are where my head is at, you know. And then you have Susan, Max, and Paul doing orchestration, and you know the guitar players who are, you know, influenced by all these different things. And so, I mean, we're making our own records on our own label. We have complete freedom, you know, to do whatever we want. It feels good. I kind of feel like I'm right back to where I was in my bedroom with my little 4-track 30 years ago, making our own records. You know, we just make it.
Well, it's been a hallmark of Poor Dog Pondering, the fact that you do have so many influences. You'll hear a record where you'll have 8, 9. I mean, even when you guys were in the major label stuff in the early 90s and you're on Letterman, there's 12 different people in the band. There's an accordion. You're up. You're platforms. I mean, you really do look like that band that's right, playing in the backyard. Like, but there's some bands that are like, okay, this is what we do. This is the box that we're going to play in, and we do this kind of rock and roll, and this is the genre we play in.
Right.
Poor Dog Pondering defies that.
Yeah.
Why did you choose that? What is it about inspiration and your philosophy that breeds that?
To me, it feels very natural. You know, as a musician, you're always listening, you know, and so you're being inspired by stuff, you know, and you let it come into you. You know, like lately I've been listening to a lot of Brazilian music. So like their chords, they're using a lot of jazz chords. And, you know, I stopped using a pick because all the Brazilian guys, they play with their hands, you know. So like I wanted to get to know what that was like. And you just incorporate these things in. And to me, it feels really natural to think that you have a sound and that you have to make your record sound like you, your sound seems unnatural to me. You know what I mean?
Right. But are you, or even early on when you had some hits that were hitting the radio and there was there ever a thought, well, we need to come up with another Poor Dog Pondering sounding hit?
You know? No, I mean, we you know, I think we've always reacted completely opposite to that. You know, I mean, for better or for worse. I mean, you know, especially early on, we were kind of self-destructive. But, you know, like Columbia used to always go like, right, we need another Be the One. You know, that was the one that they got the most traction with. And you know, so the last thing we want to do is give them another Be the One, you know. But I mean, it's not because we're being difficult for being difficult's sake. I think that what we've felt is like if we just follow our heart, follow our intuition, wherever it goes, that's the most important thing. That's ultimately what you're broadcasting from the speakers at the end of the day. You're going like, this is where we are right now. We really mean it. This is what we're thinking lyrically. This is what we're interested in musically. And it's happening right now. And then the next time it's going to be something else. And we always have felt like, That was the currency, is to like to be true to that thing, and people can hear that. They know when you're there.
For someone listening right now who's a Poi Dog fan, who you know here on WGN, they're going to know two parts of Poi Dog. There's going to be, like you just mentioned, the stuff about recording, being independent, the sound, the instrumentation, changing things up record by record. The other part is your live performances, and that really has kept you. I don't want to use the word relevant, but in music that is, you know, you have to keep, but you have had such a great relationship with your fans to be able to play, whether it be Ravinia, whether it be the Vic, whether it be on a New Year's Eve, you seem to have a relationship to your audience that's in that space.
Yeah. I mean, the live, I love both things. I love the studio and I love the live. We're very respectful of our you know, fans of the band. We don't go into show and just knock it out. Play the same set list. You know, we vehemently like change the set list every time, have a concept for the show when we go into it, have a performance idea. You know, you shape.
That's something you think
show,
about.
Yeah. Months before we only play like 3 or 4 locations a year, you know? And so when we do those are well thought out shows, you know? And I love going on stage and knowing that we got something up our sleeve. You know, at some point, Housematic Dance Troupe's going to come out. Or at some point, you know, we can pull the string orchestra is going to do something. You know, or like you know, or there's going to be a light suit. You know, or
the... I mentioned earlier on in the interview, I kind of referred to you as a working musician.
Mm-hmm.
For you, you know, obviously doing live shows has been a big. That's been the big part of Poi Dog Ponder.
Yeah.
And then, you know, as you get older, does it change? I mean, you just said you only do 3 or 4 shows a year. What changes as you get older as a working musician? I mean, is it the same kind of thing to pull up the bootstraps and we got to play on the streets, you know, like you did when you started
right.
To what's Poi Dog now?
You know, I mean, that's we've always, you know, when I was in Hawaii coming up, we used to play 5 nights a week in the same club. And I knew that was a dead end. You know, when I saw that, I was like going like, that's no way, you know. I Jesus and Mary Chain would go out and you know do 20 minutes on stage and walk off stage. You know, I was like, you know, I mean that was much, much. You know, in other words, like you know, make it special. Don't blow it all. Don't go out there, be out there all the time. Save up for it, do it special. And that's something that we've done all the while. The thing has changed for us over the years. Not much has changed other than it's just impossible for us to tour. You know, mm-hmm. And that makes it difficult. We'll go out of town and we'll play like New York, or we'll play San Francisco, or maybe Denver, Phoenix, or
but
Austin.
That's a one-off,
and that's about it.
Yeah.
You know, like we
just
we'll
because people
will lose
have
money doing that.
You got jobs and things like that.
You got to fly. You know, to make kind of music, you need at least 8 people. Our regular lineup is 15, but we need 8 people to. If under like, you know, on the road as a lean and mean machine, it's going to be 8 people to get that sound. And then, you know, we never sold that kind of records to make it pay for itself. So we can never really do it. We still do it. We save money from shows here and we fly to New York. We have a great weekend and we play, you know, a couple shows there and then we come back. We lose some money, you know, we go in the hole, but we had a great time. And so we do that, you know, but what I do is that my thing is that I live and work out of Chicago, and it's a great place to work. We got a great support. We um we can do the shows that we want to do, the big production shows, you know, walk into the Vic Theater or the Metro mm-hmm. or the Paramount or wherever and do like a big production show. And we can also make our records. We make our records out of our houses. You know, we record them. My living room's got mics in there right now, you know. So and then we release the records on our own label. And then I licked the stamps, you know, at the house to mail the records
out. It seems like you guys were, you know, ahead of your time. I mean, it seems like now bands, that's how you have to do it if you want to make it in this new music industry. You guys have been doing this since 1995.
Right.
Yeah. So Frank Orrell, Poor Dog Pondering. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, I got to ask you about Chicago.
Sure.
You know, the we've had a lot of fun in these interviews just getting your take on the philosophy of why you stayed here, what you think of this town, and what this town has given Poor Dog Pondering.
Yeah.
The new records, Everybody Got a Star, Everybody's Got a Star. Frank Orrell in studio with me here on The Download. Stay with us, everybody. When I wake in the morning, little Poor Dog Pondering from the new record, When I Wake in the Morning, from their latest Everybody's Got a Star. Frank Orrell in studio with me, talking about the band Poor Dog Pondering, their career, their new stuff, and also about making music here in Chicago, because that's something that Poor Dog Pondering, I mean, you're from Honolulu, mm-hmm. you were in Austin, you talked about Austin, you came to Chicago, but you stayed.
Yeah.
What kept you in particular here in Chicago?
I think it's a really good working city. I mean, on a number of levels, but say for me creatively, as a creative person, it's a really easy person. It's a really place to live. It's affordable to live, you know, like New York. I watch my friends who are in bands in New York and they were struggling. You know, they would put a band together. If the band didn't make it within 6 months, like what they thought the way they should make it, like mm-hmm. then they would just break up and form a new band, like because they thought, well, the formula's
wrong. You're
right.
That's, you know? That's a great point that I have not heard made, just about the idea of affordability of life.
Yeah.
Gives you a little bit more time to make your creative projects work.
Yeah. The city's laid out great, and it's a large city, so it's got a lot of stimulation going on. There's a lot of things going on in. You know, it's a racially mixed city. That's important to me. And, you know, and so, yeah, it's been I've really enjoyed this. I love the city.
Well, you know, I'm always interested in the relationship between a city and a band
mm-hmm.
because you get that a lot. And it feels like the fans put that on. This band's from Chicago. This band's from San Francisco. Oh, Bay Area band. Just reading something about Metallica. Area band. But, for you, what does it mean when people say Poor Dog Pondering is a Chicago band?
I have such a different I have a different look at it because, you know, it's been a Hawaii band and it's been a Austin band and it's been a Chicago band and it's got all three of those elements in it now, you know. But it definitely, you know, we've been here 20 years and 22 years living and working here and the band is mostly Chicagoans, you know. And so, yeah, we're a Chicago band.
Well, I mean, one of the things that when I talk to people about Chicago, we never really get into just the support systems.
Yeah.
Chicago, you've developed relationships with the Metro, with the Vic. You mentioned mm-hmm. the Vic, different places. How is it for, as being a working musician, for Chicago? I mean, is it easy for you to find a place to work, easy for you to find a place to record, easy for you to find a place to play?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, for instance, you know, L.A. is just, it's really hard to find a place to play in L.A. You know, I mean, they've got a lot of like not such good rooms, you know, but I guess let me put it this. It's easy for me. We've recorded every record we've recorded in a different space, you know, like Pomegranate. We rented a disused basketball gym in Cabrini Green and tracked the record inside there. For Natural Thing, we had a little space on Fullerton and Western, like a little, you know. So each record, we've gone into like a different environment, you know, and only every once in a while I use a proper studio. I think 7 we did in a proper studio. But we've always rented spaces and then made them our own and then worked out.
What was the intention
When you go into a regular studio, you're recording by the hour, and it shows. You know, the band members go like, "Oh, you know, I got to get this guitar solo.
Right?
You know, one more take, and then we got to move on." You know,
right.
And then, but if we're in the studio, and we like to go in somewhere, and you know, like put stuff up on the wall, nail lyrics to the wall. You know, put out bed rolls, bring in a hot plate, and you know, cook pasta in there. I'll take the night shift. I'll stay up all night, and then someone will come in. Martin or Ted will come in during the day and track people during the day, and then I'll pick up the ball at night. You know, so I mean, we can keep the engine room going. It's a creative hotbed. You know, I think when you take over a space and make it your own for recording, that's why.
You know, you mentioned earlier about touring, the idea that you need 8 people,
yeah,
to really get the Poi Dog sound. But there's 15 people in the band.
Yeah,
for young musicians who are starting out, who may want to have or are drawn to that kind of vibe, mm-hmm. something that's bigger instrumentation, more of a I guess a creative palette when it comes to music. What's your advice to someone who wants to start something like a Poi Dog Pondering, a big, you know, 8-person, 15-person band?
Yeah, I mean, do it. You know, I mean, because the nice thing is that now you have this palette, you know, with all these colors on it, to add to the song. And then also the audience loves it because they're like, wow, okay, wow, there's an accordion. Okay, there's a, you know, or whatever the instruments, you know, that you have on stage, and they get to see those instruments at work. And you know, it's not hard. I mean, you know, also you can do stuff, you know, like we were sleeping in sleeping bags on the outskirts of town and then coming into town. I mean, in other words, it's how much do you want to do it? You can find a way to do it. You know, we had a little beatbox and we were copying the cassettes while we were driving from town to town and selling them on the street. You know, I mean, it's, you know, you just find a way, you know, I mean, and my thing is that I think that if you get creative and you think about, like, my thing has always been, I had a friend of mine who like said, like, you know, like, I forget how he said it, but, you know, best quality under the circumstances. You know, you might not be able to record in a studio. You might not be able, you know, but you just find a way to get it done. The important thing is getting the idea done, you know? So.
This is awesome to have you here, man.
Thanks. I appreciate it, man. I really appreciate you having
Poi Dog
me
here. Pondering has been, as much as it has been an Austin band and obviously a Hawaii band, it is a Chicago band.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can't go a year without seeing huge Poi Dog shows being advertised. And, you know, your relationship to New Year's, and it always feels like there's a Poi Dog show on New Year's.
Right.
You know, you've given a lot to this community, and we look forward to more work.
Thank you, man.
And stay here.
That.
Don't go anywhere else. Just stay here.
No, we're here. We're here for the count.
The latest album is called Everybody's Got a Star. Frank Orle, Poi Dog Pondering. Thanks for being my guest.
Thanks. I appreciate it, brother.